Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the calling of Levi. As we think on this word, may you reveal the power of it to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have any of you ever read one of those Pick a Path books? Any? Well, they're good. It's probably the only reading I did when I was a little whippersnapper. It wasn't much. Anyhow, what do you do in a Pick a Path book? Say, Trev's walking down the street and he comes to the roundabout, and will he go right to Coles to buy something? Will he go straight ahead to the playground? Or will he go left down this shady lane where it looks dark and dangerous? So you get to pick where you want to go. And sometimes you think, oh, I don't want to go down this dark and shady lane because that sounds dangerous. And you go right to go to Coles and you go to that page number. Sometimes you would pick what you would think would be the good option, and you know, they got hit by a car or something like that, so you can't pick, but you get to pick at that point which way you are going to go. Sometimes I would backtrack if it didn't end how I like. Oh, let's go back and we'll do that again. If only we could do that in our life, right? Well, in this story that we hear, this account of Levi sitting at his tax collector booth, in a way, it's a pick a path book. In that Levi has a choice at this moment in this story, which path will I choose? And he needed to pick. In fact, he knew which way things would end if he kept on going down the path he was already going as a tax collector. He knew people didn't like him. He knew, though, he was very well off and he could get whatever he wanted as far as financial things. He could probably put up with that, everyone not liking him if he had all these worldly pleasures. But he needed to pick a path because Jesus was in front of him. If you were to read a few chapters or a few passages before our passage for Levi today, you would find that Jesus does a couple of powerful things. One is he healed a man with leprosy, right? He healed someone who was seen as unclean. In fact, he was willing to touch a person like that. So Jesus was willing to deal with his ritual uncleanness, and he smashed it. Not ritually unclean. Jesus says, it's clean and I'm not defiled by this ritual uncleanness. So Jesus smashed that power, and then he also, in the healing of this paralytic, where he said, you know, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to get up and walk? But he wanted to prove that he had power to forgive sins, and so he said, I tell you, get up and walk. So again, and they're like, how can you say you can forgive? Only God can do this. And so these are the two accounts that happened just before the calling of Levi. But in the calling of Levi, we have the putting of these two stories together, because Levi, a tax collector, was seen as ritually unclean. That profession was an unclean profession. That's how they were seen. And also in the calling of Levi, we see the smashing of sin again, calling of one of the most notorious types of people. A tax collector was someone who had bought the right to collect tax. You know, like how Transurban built the road, but they've also bought the right to collect tax on CityLink. They can collect tolls. They've bought that right till 2030 or something like that. A tax collector buys the right, in this case off Rome and King Herod, to sit on this road, the Via Marius. A road that Rome had built, and so rightly, they should be able to collect tax on the road. Levi had bought this right. But what tax collectors did, because there were no set fees, they would have plenty of wriggle room to extort people. So one day you might go through and you've got 10 chickens and they say, oh, 3 chickens for this trip. Oh, it was only one last week. Tough luck. They had Roman guards there with them to be able to enforce the tax. So you could see in that way how tax collectors were looked down on, can't you? You absolutely can. But also the Romans were seen by Israelites in particular as an oppressive force and one that they vehemently disliked. That's probably not strong enough a word. They hated. That's getting closer. They hated the Romans. And so Levi, who was a Jew working for the Roman, also was seen as a traitor. A traitor working for people we hate and collecting more than what's due. And we all know from, say, from this gospel or the Old Testament reading that God loves fair scales. He's not opposed to us paying tax or government taking tax, but he's opposed to people ripping other people off. So Levi, outcast because he's with Roman, outcast because he's stealing, outcast because he is not being a good Jew. But today, Levi, sitting at his booth, has a new choice before him. No doubt the stories of Jesus will have made it to the ears of Levi. If he's on a main road, and he was, then the things, people coming up the road, the things that have happened down the road would be funneled through him. He would hear about this. No doubt he's heard about Jesus healing unclean people. No doubt he's heard about Jesus forgiving sin. The stories would have made it to him. And Levi had a choice. Would he sit in his tax collector's booth and stay there, or would he follow Jesus? There's a reading in Deuteronomy that God said to the people of Israel, "This day I call heaven and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him." This is the sort of thing that was before Levi in this day. He had before him life or death, a blessing or curse, depending on whether he would choose to follow or to stay seated in his tax booth. One of my kids' names is Levi, and when I started thinking about Levi's name, I realised that there's a few things going on in the name itself. Before I get to the name, we're about to go through this Upside Down Kingdom sermon series. And it will, so today you'll see why this is upside down, but it continues on. In the name Levi, there's a few things going on. First of all, it's a nice little name. But the other thing is, you've also got evil in the name Levi. So you've got the potential for evil, but you've also got the potential to live. There's one other thing that's in the name of Levi. No, it's not there, so I can't show you at the moment. There's one more, and it's vile. Quite amazing, really. I love when I was thinking about it, I'm like, oh, yes. In my son, even as a little kid, he's got a choice every day. Is he going to live or is he going to be evil? And this is what was before this tax collector. Will he stay as he was or was he going to choose life? And this very choice that's before Levi is before each and every one of us today. Are we going to be one who chooses to sit in our own tax booth? You fill in whatever it is that's calling you away from God or the place where evil is resting in your life, so to speak? Are you going to sit there and stay there? Or are you going to choose to get up and follow Jesus? It's our choice. And the good news about this passage is that if a scumbag tax collector like Levi, if he can be called by Jesus of Nazareth, then so can you. Right? If he can, you can. You might say, well, Trev, you don't know how bad I am. Well, you don't know how bad I am, do you? Right? But what I do know is that Jesus has the power to change. He has the power to set life before us. He has the power to make us clean, both ritually and from sin. A new day can dawn as we follow Jesus. That I know. And that I've experienced. And I pray that you have too. And if you haven't, well, I want to tell you, today there is a choice for you. Will you choose to stay in evil and death? Or will you choose life and good? Jesus can help you with this. There is no two ways about it. We also know Levi by another name, and it's Matthew. His name changed. And this is a good symbol of what happens to us when we do make that choice. It's almost like we're a different person. Praise God. Now, where vile comes into this is that as Levi was celebrating, either at Jesus' house or Levi's house, we're not sure, but what we're sure of is that there was a whole bunch of Levi's friends who were in this house having a party with Jesus. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. A large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Isn't that good? Look, Jesus was right amongst them. Not just the changed Levi, but also the ones who are yet to be changed. How can Jesus do that, though? How can he just be so happy to be amongst all these people who are evil and wicked? And that's the question that's on the lips of the Pharisees and tax collectors. And my guess is, when Jesus sees these people, he sees who they were and who they could be. And as he sees who they are now, he knows that there is so much more in them. He knows that they can be transformed back to the likeness of the image of God that is still in them, though marred, that they can be transformed. He knows it. The Pharisees and teachers of the law saw it and saw it as a vile thing. But Jesus knows that out of the vile and out of evil can also come live or life. And so Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, Jesus isn't saying there that the Pharisees weren't sick, but rather the Pharisees and teachers of the law would have thought that they weren't. But Jesus is saying those who recognize that they're ill, those who need it and recognize that they can come to a doctor, the soul doctor, they can come to me and get healing. They can come to me and be restored. They can come to me and become righteous. This is good news for us. It's good news for us, but it also has the potential to change the way we see others too. The way we see others too. When we are among ones who we might think, oh, you're a bit far gone, I don't want to be around you. Can we too remember that God calls the worst of us? That there's hope for everyone? Even if we can't see how, there is hope. And the Salvation Army knew it. Maybe the Salvation Army knows it. William Booth, the founder, instructed many of his people who are under him, go for souls and go for the worst. That was their instruction. Why? This is what Jesus did. And if you can have the worst transformed, then there's hope for everyone, right? And Jesus displayed it in this passage here. I'm almost through, friends. I just want to clarify and cement once more that it doesn't matter which track you've been on up to now. It doesn't matter which tax collector booth you've been sitting on. The choice is before you now. A new day can dawn. And there's more satisfaction and joy in following Christ, in following this King, than you'll ever find sitting at that tax booth. It's not too late. It's not. He calls us all today to not be vile, to not be evil. He calls us to live. And may we find the life he has won for us in the calling and in the forgiveness won on the cross. May that salvation be ours today. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have done for us, that you see us as your image, and that you call us even when we are or were broken. And you call us to life. May we truly enter in the life you have for us today. We thank you that it's not through our own merit, but through your gracious gift that this life is ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to have a song. I think we are. Just wait a sec. I need to get my book back. We're going to have a song now. Now, we don't normally do this, but there may be some people here who feel, you know what? I need to get out of my seat and follow. Right? If this is you today, for whatever reason you feel that is you, during this next song, you are welcome to get out and to come and kneel at the front. No one else will know what's going on as far as the details. They'll just be rejoicing that you are choosing life today, that you are choosing to heed the call and follow. Let's stand and we'll sing the song, Take My Life.
Ceaseless praise, take my hand. and impulse of thy love, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Our Lord, we thank you that you call us. We thank you that you give life to us. May you pour your joy and peace and salvation upon us. In the strong and mighty name of Jesus, who transforms souls and makes the unrighteous righteous. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.